and welcome to episode 141 of Wing Sauce. Well, pretty close to what we said. We all said 2-2, but it ended up being 1-2-1. So
wasn't expecting the loss.
The shootout or the OT lot. Was it OT or shootout?
OT.
I can't remember.
No, it was a Oh, now you got me questioning myself. I don't know.
Yeah, Connor, what was it? Help us out here.
I'm pretty sure it was a shootout.
Well, if it's a shootout, that's probably why, because we're terrible in the shootout.
Yes, well, it was a shootout. It should never have gotten to that point. Anyway, just being up 2-0. Anyway, we can get into that. But first of all, we'll go around the horn. How is everyone doing on this fine Sunday?
It was snowy. I went to go get some donuts in Toledo that are delicious. And then I also went to go look at the...
You drove to Toledo for donuts?
It's only like 20 minutes.
You live 20 minutes away from Toledo? Man, you're basically in Ohio.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm super close to it. It's like, I'm like in between Detroit.
He's a Jackets fan too. Toledo.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Huge Ohio State fan.
But while I was in Toledo, I stopped at Golf Galaxy to check out the new Paradigm woods.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a new one, but I didn't. So I bought a new Paradigm sight unseen because I got such a good deal from Callaway that I was like, oh, I'll just buy the newest one. And then I was like, wait a second. I probably should go look at them like and make sure I like the head shape and everything. Because like, they all relatively hit the same. Even though he was saying the new like triple star is a little bit more forgiving than last year's model. But yeah, that's what I did this morning. So pretty exciting. So I'm already excited for golf season. Whenever
that nice. I don't know anything that you just said, basically, because I – stay away from anything that's new because golf equipment's so expensive that I don't buy any of that. So I'm happy that you got to go do that. But the price is right.
I got this year's show. Model. I got this year's model for last year's price.
Wow. That sounds like you're saving dozens of dollars.
I'm saving like 200 and some dollars. So yeah.
That's still dozens.
Yeah. That is dozens.
No, that's cool. Well, at least you can hit them in the winter in your garage and play. And I don't play in the winter
for the most part. And I got a mini split for the garage. So now I can heat and cool my garage.
Yeah, buddy.
So nice. Now it's like, so the man garage is taking shape, if you will.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Very cool. I think it still classifies as a man cave.
Does it? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. I like it.
Yeah.
If you have a golf simulator in there, and there's no vehicles in there.
And a projector. Watch
yes.
Hockey.
Yes. If the sole purpose is to hang out with friends and to golf or whatever, that is absolutely a man cave.
Yeah. Anything can be a man. Your whole house can be a man cave if you're single and you put a golf simulator in the family room.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Oh, so what about you? What about you, Connor? You were starting to say, what have you been up to?
I've been good. Been hanging out. Just got back from a walk. I like walking when it's like outside. It's been horrible outside where it's been kind of rainy and wet. So you can't, I don't know, just walking the dog. It's horrible because it just gets all wet. So now it's a little bit colder. The snow is, now it's a little wet, but this morning it wasn't too bad. And watching some football right now. So we're, for people listening, we started recording when it was 14-7 with 5 minutes-ish left in the second quarter of the Buffalo-Bengals game. And so Buffalo's down by 7. I don't have anything on this game. I'm a Buffalo fan. My family's from Buffalo, so I always want them to win. So if I had anything on it, I'd pick them. But the next game, I have Dallas is +4 against the Niners. I like that.
I like the Niners.
You like the Niners covering?
I just like it just because, I don't know, I could see it happening.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I like Dallas covering +4 and potentially even money line.
What's the money line?
Well, money line's just them winning.
Oh, I know. What is it? What is it like? Do you know the odds?
No, I don't. No, I don't know. I think so it was like -110 or something like that for them to be +4. So that's probably plus money at money line. I mean, it'd have to be, I would think.
I love that when Dustin said, what's money line? And Connor's like, well, it's just them winning.
I know.
I was like, are you asking for a definition?
I was asking the odds. I was just like, all right, well.
Yeah, Dustin quickly went, I know, but what are the...
Hey, it's good. It's good just in case someone didn't know what Moneyline was, because when I went to a football game and for the Jets, our friend was like, I was like, hey, so what do you want to bet on? She's like, I don't know what any of that means. I was like, oh, okay. Well.
It's plus 170 for Dallas.
Interesting.
So for Moneyline, and then San Francisco. See, I mean, San Francisco minus 210 money. I don't know. I like Dallas.
Yeah.
I can see that San Francisco's got that that guy Brock Purdy. I don't know. So that's a lot of football, but I like what this is a great weekend. Past two weekends for NFL football.
Some really I felt bad for the playing. Giants yesterday.
Yeah. As a past Philly resident, I don't really like Philly, but I'm like, well, I kind of feel like I should because I live there. And I was there.
But you couldn't say you didn't like Philly while you were there, or else you would have gotten murdered.
No, I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
No, I basically like full body paint for every Sunday. Just like, hey guys, huge Philly fan over here.
Yep.
I love the birds. Jersey.
Yeah, basically I'm signing up. I go birds, down baby. To the stadium.
Oh, your man. Terrell Owens jersey.
Yeah, for the most part. So other than that, yeah, I've been good. I've been good. I haven't really done too much though. So I think last weekend I went. So yeah, we recorded after. Like I talked about going to the game. Dustin, you were at the game yesterday at the loss against the Flyers.
I got some stories about that.
You want to jump into it? Let's do that. That's probably in recent memory.
Yeah, we can jump into it. So, I mean, let's just start off. Everyone remembers the pizza toss, right? So we're talking about Carly last week, and we brought up again.
Oh yeah,
is there pizza in those boxes? I can honestly say, thank God, there's not, because I got smoked in the back of the neck with a pizza box.
Frisbee luckily, style?
Dude, yeah, 100%. Whipped it. I don't even know where it came from, honestly, because I'm in the meds. So it came from like the 200s. Comes flying down.
Did you get hit by the corner or the broadside?
It was... I honestly don't know.
I don't remember anything. I got knocked out.
It was but it's to the point
in the middle
where
of a lawsuit right now.
I almost turned around.
Woke up in the ER.
Well, that's funny. Because I text Carly. I was like, so who do I sue about this pizza box?
Carly directly.
I did. I text
Illich Holdings.
She tells me to shut up and eat your pizza. I was like, oh, okay.
It's a joke, no, but, by the way.
100%. But no, the joke is that I turned around because I thought I was like, did someone hit me in the back of the neck? That's literally like my first reaction. And I'm like, what? I see the pizza box like sitting over in the corner. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I can't really be that mad. But no. But yeah, they don't ever hit you in the head with a lottery ticket, just the pizza boxes, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Oh, could you imagine if John Tortorella got hit in the head with a pizza box? What would his reaction be?
He'd quit. He'd kill everybody and then quit.
He'd throw the bench on the ice and leave. He'd be like, I'm done. Dude, all right. Speaking of that, so this is what I was trying to say before we started recording. The one interesting thing about like being at the game versus watching it on TV, in my opinion, I feel like watching it at home, you have a better vantage. The reason being is they don't show replays worth a shit in the arena. Like they don't show replays. So unless you like are watching
on the Jumbotron,
yeah, like they do, but not like you think. Like on TV, like on TV,
yeah, it's not like a Bally Sports broadcast.
Yeah, they'll break that shit down. You know what I'm saying? So, and the cool thing is a lot of times you guys can hear stuff on the ice that we can't hear if you're sitting in certain areas of the rink. But all I can say is the Flyers last night, they were, first off, I'm surprised there wasn't a fight. Honestly, the whole entire,
got
like,
chippy.
Perron, I thought was going to drop his gloves. Honestly, him and,
he's a pretty boy.
Konechny were just talking shit the whole entire night. Non-stop, just back and forth.
Well, connect me with a bunch of people. Who else was he was going after somebody like the whole entire? Oh, Ernie. Him and Ernie. Yep. I feel like it was him and Ernie even more so than Perron.
He tripped Kubalik
like a couple times, but
yeah. I mean, at one point though, I think Ernie came and just fucking boom, cross-checked him right in the chest, and he fell backwards. They didn't call anything.
Yeah, that was because they showed the replay a lot on TV. To like kind of going back to your last point, Dustin. He definitely caught him off balance. It wasn't that hard. It was like a punch to the chest, and his feet were parallel, so that he just didn't have any balance and probably wasn't expecting it. But it could have been. It would have been frustrating if it was called, but it would have been fine. But I'm glad that stuff wasn't.
I'm glad the refs let it go to a certain extent, like right, because it was both ways. It wasn't just one sided. So it's like you call that because they did a good job. Honestly, they called it like during like the roughing penalties. They called both sides most of the time. Like, all right, you're being a dick. You're being a dick. Let's go.
Either call it like that in the very beginning, but they miss so much of that chippy stuff in the first period that you can't switch over in the second and third and start calling that. It's like, well, then yeah, you gotta,
I'm going to be tougher now.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you got to play the rules that you set in the beginning. And if they set it to be a little bit more lenient, I actually thought it was a good job roughing that type of game. Yeah. So I always rather see stuff let go. I mean, special teams is fun, but 5-on-5 hockey is kind of what people want to see. That's how you see, like, in playoffs, nobody wants to see a bunch of special teams period after period. And you have like the Stanley Cup champion basically being the best power play team and the best penalty kill team. But yeah, overall, it was actually a good game. I don't know if you guys saw Larkin's comments at the end. It felt like he said it felt like a playoff game. And I could see that. It actually looked for a mid to late January game against teams that are, I can say that's the mindset
they have to have, though.
Yeah, they have to be in that, like, fighting for that wild card spot, and they should be there. It was a fast, chippy game. I don't think those comments were outlandish. I thought it did feel like a playoff game, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I agree. It was fast. It was chippy. It was a good game. It was one of those games, like, it kept you in your seats, right? It was nice seeing that goal in the end. It's one of those goals that I think it's like makes you feel decent about how you played. Because I feel like they played better than the score showed, right? I didn't feel like it was a 2-0 shutout.
You run into a hot goalie.
Yeah, Carter Hart was just
a wall.
Oh my god, dude! He had a couple of his saves, like, in real time, are so crazy watching, because you're like, you can see like the play getting set up, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, I'm taking that. Like, it's just like, holy shit, where did you come from?
Yeah, he had a couple of cross ice passes and.
Yeah, who was it? Raymond that he robbed in the last like 5 seconds or something?
Yeah, that was Raymond again. Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah, but then a couple of like one tees across the middle of the ice that he robbed, glove hand, just. He was really good. And then he was so good, and they were both actually really good. Huso looked great. They were both good that I was really hoping that the Red Wings were going to get the first goal, because I thought that whoever scored first was able to change the style of their own game to play more of a, not even like just taking the break off to play defensively, but limit the shots and the risk that whoever scored that first goal more than most games would have the upper hand. So when Philly scored, I was watching, I was like, man, it's a huge bummer, because they're really going to, especially with Torts behind the bench, they can just sit back and play his style of game. And he would have loved that game. And I'm sure he did. I didn't hear him after the game, but anytime that you can win 2-0 or 0-0 after a period, or 0-0 after two, or 1-0, whatever the score was after two, his style of or really any coach, they love that. So he was probably super happy with that win.
Well, a Torts team, like a vintage Torts team, you think back to, I mean, he had great teams with the Rangers, but even more recently with Columbus, when he was able to take his team and wear down Tampa Bay after they had won just a franchise record, but an NHL tying record of 62 win season.
Yeah.
They were able to wear down the Lightning and beat them pretty much at their own game.
Yeah.
So that's the type his teams are always disciplined. You know, they may not be the most skilled or, score the most goals, but they're always the most disciplined.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I it's hard because I feel like the Red Wings are at a point where, as a fan, we shouldn't be satisfied with that type of game. I felt like they were in control a lot of the game. They should have won it on paper, looking at shots after different periods and just the overall pace and the scoring chances alone, not even just the shots, but the actual scoring chances were in Detroit's favor, in my opinion. I didn't see the actual stats, but
31 to 20 something in Detroit's favor. Yeah.
Yeah. But like the actual like goal opportunities, scoring opportunities, was that what you were saying, or was that just shots?
No, that was just shots. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know what the scoring chances were, but either way, what I was going to say is it's hard. Like, I feel happy about the game because, like I said, they looked like the better team, but at some point you really can't be happy with this anymore because they're at a point where they are the better team and they need to be finding a way to get the puck in the net. I don't care who's in that. You need to bear down and find a way. And I think they are, and that's probably why it's frustrating, but why guys weren't saying that it was for a lack of effort. That you heard him after in the post-game press conferences and stuff. But that's a frustrating loss for a team that has been growing and is on the right path. And last year, I'd be happy with that all day long. Past couple years, I'd be happy with that. This year, it's like, you really, you need to figure it out. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not on your team. Figure it out.
This is another really important stat that I just noticed and didn't bring up. So 31 shots did get through and did get on net for Red Wings against Philly. However, Philly had 31 blocks. So you think of shot attempts, they were probably over 60.
Yeah. I felt like they had, and Dustin was, you were at the game, so you probably felt like this too, but didn't you just feel like they were controlling the pace of play for the most part, or they, you know, even if it's not the pace of play, I feel like they were getting more shots, and like even some of the shots that were blocked, I would call them a scoring opportunity where, yeah, the puck didn't get through, but it would have been a really, really good opportunity if the guy didn't block the shot, which obviously like block shot doesn't count anyway, but kind of just going back to them controlling the puck, especially in the zone, the puck movement was great. It's just, like I said, I'd be happy with it last year with a growing team, but we're at the point where you got to find a way to win those games. You need the 2 points.
No, I mean, and to your point, kind of goes over to the Arizona game, right? Like with those games, you can't be going to a shootout You can't even
let them get a point.
That's how I start going with Tyler. You can't even let them get the overtime at that point. Like those type of games, like you have to be able to win those. Like,
well, you can't be the team that that snaps their losing streak. Didn't they lose 8 games in a row, Arizona?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think they were on like an 8-game losing streak, and then the Red Wings come in, and then they get a win.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think Arizona, I'm looking them up right now. I do think Arizona, let's see here, the Yoders.
I think they're are they dead last in the league?
Yes. That I know. They are dead last in the league because they're trash. Schedule, let's see here. We are in January.
It's bad radio. Bear with us.
All righty. So they had a loss. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh my God.
8.
Wow. Stay hot, Connor. Are you kidding me? Just pulling that out of the back pocket.
It's all right.
Just running through stats left and right.
He's got it up right in front of him, and he's like, I think they had 8.
I think they
That it was definitely 8.
No. Yep. That's what I do in my spare time, guys. As you know, I look up Arizona Coyotes.
I can see your screen stats with the mirror in the background.
If I ever have a Google search history of Arizona's schedule, just shoot me in the face and everyone
So on that, so it's funny because I was talking to somebody. Oh, I'm so glad.
Dustin has the schedule up, by the way.
I do. So I have a couple things I want to bring up at the end. But one thing I mentioned, so someone was saying that the players like playing at Mullet Arena with 4,600 fans. So actually, they don't have the true 5,000 fan capacity because that's only for college games. 4,600, I think, was the total fans for an NHL game. Connor,
I mean, I've always heard good things about the players saying that it's fun. But the hard part is you really need to get into, if you had a guy sitting on your couch right now that was in the NHL that played there, I think you'd have a much different answer than what they give to the media, because you get the same exact response every single time you talk to them. Oh yeah, you know, the fans are going crazy. It's really nice. The blah blah blah. It feels like I'm back in college or juniors. You get 4,000 people. It's much more intimate. And all these things. And then when you talk to these guys again, I have no idea, but you talk to these guys away from the cameras, and they're like, "Yeah, it was fun, but what the hell are we doing here? We're in the NHL and we're playing." I just did this in college.
It's like a craft hockeyville game.
Right. Yeah. But it's cool for the Red Wings because you get 70% of the crowd was wearing red and white, which is cool.
I mean, so one thing to think about though is to your point, Connor, some of those players did play in college and some of those players maybe never played a college rink. You know, it is a little bit more.
They played somewhere, though.
100%. But it's just kind of funny thinking about it because I made a post. I was like, can you imagine? I just got out of college last year. I don't want to come back here and play college hockey.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. And some of these guys are like, well, it sucked to, if you're playing for Arizona, you've mailed it in already. You're probably just enjoying the nice weather.
And you went to Arizona State last year.
No, if you're playing for the team and then And then for players, it's like, well, you only got to play there a couple times. It's not that bad. It's actually kind of fun. Like maybe they do like it. I just kind of think it like everybody else. Like,
so the players,
it's not a great look.
If I'm not mistaken, do not have a locker room at the rink.
Yeah. Well, did you see, they did a walkout. Who was it? It wasn't Ken. Announcer. It wasn't Mickey or Ken. I forget who it was. Had a video of the walkout. Like he went from the locker room and walked over to show what the walkout was. It's not that bad. It's like it's outside a little bit, but
you see Mickey and Ken's little spot that was like five rows up from the ice. I was like, that's actually pretty good seats for like an like broadcast booth.
Well, they talked about it a lot. They were saying that he's like, well, if you make a mistake here, then or something like, you're not going to make a mistake here. Tomorrow night's a different story though, because I think they were playing Vegas the next day. And they said that's one of the hardest play, like the highest and hardest places to call a game, because you're so far away compared to like other rinks that all the players look very small. It's hard to find the numbers.
I'm trying to think if I've done a tour of T-Mobile Arena. I don't think I've done a tour of T-Mobile.
I don't know. You have to look next time you're there. You have to look to see where that box is where people come to. Yeah. Apparently, it's according to Ken, he said it was super high up there.
You've been to the Shark Tank, right?
Yep.
You did you do a tour of that one, or you just saw a game there?
San Jose. Dude, I can't remember. It's been so wild. It's been so long. I know Tampa. Tampa's is pretty high up too. Like it's not like crazy high up, but it's not like super low.
Amalie Arena looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Dude, the coolest thing in there is the damn Tesla coils that shoot lightning bolts when they score. So real quick, did you guys see the other night the Jets try to throw some image on their ice and they got the blue screen of death?
Yeah. Well, was that a joke? I thought they did
the DOS purpose. System.
Shh. Could have been a joke.
I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I only saw the picture and I just assumed that it was a joke.
I don't know. It didn't look. I thought it was too, because I was trying to read like what it said, and I was like, maybe they just kind of like a play on something. Like, oh, blah, blah. I don't know. It'd be funnier though if it wasn't.
Yeah, it'd be very funny.
just try to restart it. Just try
to plug it. Someone's running to the cords and unplugging.
Yeah, right away. So I got a couple hockey things, and we'll talk a little bit more Red Wings hockey. So Stamkos hit 500 goals. I was talking to a Tampa fan, and he brought up the point that Stamkos is 0.52 goals per game, 0.54 assists per game, which is about 1.06 points per game. Ovechkin has 0.61 goals per game, 0.49 assists per game, which is 1.1 points per game. So he's like saying it's pretty close between the two as far as, you know, goal scoring and point scoring. And I made the point to say Stamkos will not be, let's see what I say, make sure I said this correctly. I said Stamkos will creep in the top 10 for top goal scorer, like all time. But he will not see top 5 though.
I don't think he'll even creep into top 10.
You don't?
No. Well, I think Steve Yzerman's 692 right now at number 10. So that would mean he has to score almost 200 more goals, and I don't know how much gas he has left in the tank.
See, that's the thing I thought too.
At least he'd have to have 5-6 more years at a really decent pace to even get, you know, to get around there.
Yeah, please check that, Dustin. I'm almost sure Steve Yzerman is number 10.
Correct. He's got it in front of his face.
You are correct.
No, I swear to God, I know. Yeah, you guys know my computer. You guys know my computer. That's right off the dome.
And that's why. And that's why I kind of said to him, I was like, you know,
does he think they're going to get it? I didn't hear the part. Does he think he's going to sneak into the top 10?
Not necessarily.
Or just you?
No. He's saying that he thinks he's a better. He's a better goal scorer. He's a better goal scorer than Ovechkin.
Oh, that's just crazy.
Was the whole thing.
That's absolutely asinine.
Being a goal scorer, you have to score more goals than the other person. I would say that.
Ovechkin so then it switched to he's a better player, because then he brings up Stamkos's two cups. I'm like, dude, Ovechkin has one cup. Secondly, I was like, all the records Ovechkin's broken. I was like, I'm not saying Stammer's a bad player. My thing is, if Stammer could stay healthy like Ovechkin could, it'd be a different story. We'd be having a different conversation. But the problem is
I don't even think it would be the same. I mean, I still don't think
Stammer last year, I think he had 102 points, if I'm not mistaken.
Which is very admirable. I'm not taking anything away. I'm just saying, when you compare Ovechkin and Stamkos, I just don't think that there's anyone that can be compared to Ovechkin.
I don't either.
In our game right now.
I mean, even Sidney Crosby, who has more goals than Stamkos and less than
Ovechkin. I guess though it's like different players, but the question is probably, what would you if you just had to have, okay, you're building the team around somebody, like the classic question of how you can tell a player is better than the other, like who would you pick if you're building the team around the other? You pick Ovechkin?
I would.
I would pick Stamkos. He's a better all-around player. But when you talk about putting asses in seats because you know that he's going to, you know, put the puck in every single night, then Ovechkin. But build a franchise around, I'd say, yeah, Stammer's probably the better choice.
Yeah, so I don't think it's crazy. So I think it's crazy what he was saying about being a better goal scorer. I think that
that's the only crazy part.
And I could be mistaken because I'm literally reading through like a chat trying to decipher. So
no, screw him, bring him on.
Yeah. Right. And I will say too, though, Ovechkin's been playing better and he turns it on in the playoffs. Like he is a different player in the playoffs. He loves to win. Earlier in his career, he wouldn't play as hard. I would say middle of his career, he wouldn't play as hard in the defensive zone or even neutral zone. He goes balls to the wall if there's a loose puck and he has a chance to score. Like he is by far the best player at like scoring a goal or winning the 50-50 battle to find a loose puck to put it in the back of the net because he wants to score so bad. Like I've never seen anybody in the NHL be like that. But the defensive zone, he was kind of a liability for a long time. I think he's gotten better. But Stamkos, which is why I would pick Stamkos, I think he's a better all-around player. There's zero difficulty with me putting him out there at the end of the game or any type of situation, whether it be special teams or 5-on-5.
All right, so next thing. We were someone told me that Adam Fox is better than Cale Makar, which brought him to the topic. Who are the top five NHL defensemen right now?
Well, I think those two are both in it, so... I think Cale Makar is better, but
don't disagree. But so the one guy had Makar, Hedman, McAvoy, Fox, and Josi.
I take McAvoy out of there. I don't know where he came from. He's not top five defensive.
So I had Makar, Hedman.
Not in that conversation. So
again, this is me being biased 100% and mostly trying to rile them up. Makar, Hedman, Seider, Heskinen, Josi, and then I put Fox after them just to fuck with them. But honestly, Fox is honestly in the top five, 100%. But I was just trying to bust his balls. So what's your guys' top five?
Well, it's those four without McAvoy in there. I'm trying to think of who the fifth one would be. I mean, this season alone.
Can you repeat the
Josi, Fox, Hedman, Makar.
I had Heskinen as well.
Yeah, but those are the four that I would say that are in it automatically. Right now, if you look at points production, this isn't a top five D, but like he's playing it like a top five D is Dahlin this year. Same thing with Carlson back again, but he's not. Dahlin is better than, like, if you look at his point production this year and how he's playing.
Yeah.
He's playing unbelievable this season. It's kind of a joke.
And honestly, just real quick, my joke in that, Seider's really not in the top five. He is a great defenseman, but he's not there yet.
Yeah, I think give it a couple of years. And so I think it depends. Like,
I was just trying to rile him up.
Yeah, if this is like right now who you want on your team, then probably though Dahlin is right in that top five discussion for this year. Take any other year out of it.
All right, what do you got?
With those other four,
it's really tough. I completely agree with those four. And not in any specific order, except for Makar definitely being number one.
So is that two
through five? I think can. I don't know if there's really. I think that they're all pretty much doing the same. I would say Fox probably. Just with how much career he has left, I would say Fox probably second, Hedman third, Josi four, and then
that's my order too.
Yeah, I would say probably just strictly based off of he's kind of back to his vintage self as Carlson. He's got the stats to prove it when he was with Ottawa.
What are his stats right now? Can you look that up? Because I want to compare it to my pick to see. I'll pick up Dahlin.
But everyone said, both of them said Seider's definitely is in the top 10 in overall defenseman. Would you guys agree or no?
Top 10.
Be biased.
Who else? Excuse me. So I guess we would need a
Heskinen,
like a list of
Haskinen would be in there. Try to think who else. Try to think of some like defensemen that you think of that don't really.
I mean, McAvoy's in the top. I think he's like a top 10. You know, because then it gets into, you know, and even guys like Werenski when he's healthy. Obviously, he's out this year.
Letang.
Letang a couple years ago. But if we're talking about right now, I don't know if I'd put those guys in it.
John Carlson.
Quinn Hughes.
So did you find Carlson's points?
Sorry, I got sidetracked. No, I did not.
I'll find it.
No, we were talking top 10 and I was thinking, all right, I got to figure out who I would have in top 10. Let's see here. Eric Carlson. He's got 47 game assists. This 47 assists this year.
Let's 62 see. Points and 47 games played.
Mm-hmm. So, and then Dallin's got 40. He's got less games played. He's got 44 games played and 52 points, 39 assists, 13 goals.
Okay.
I'd say they're pretty comparable.
Yeah.
I guess.
I think those slide in right at that top five mark, right at that.
The only reason why I would say that maybe Eric Carlson would have the leg up on that is strictly because of, you know,
the mustache.
No, I think that's absolutely atrocious. And same thing with his hair that was down to his the middle of his back. I think that I know that the history shouldn't really have a lot to play into it, but he was in the top five. And then when he was traded,
I was taking history completely quickly out of it though.
No,
so if I agree with your point though. If we're taking like best players and then we're also accounting for like the historical fact, then I think he goes in there. I think he's in that top five just as far as like, okay, well, you can trust him a little bit more. He's been in all situations. He's, you know, he's been on teams that were very good, very bad. He's seen ups and downs. Like, there's no doubt about it. Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, when you talk about like history and stuff, of course, Brent Burns has had a great history, but this year I wouldn't really have him in that top five conversation or even honestly, even top 10.
Yeah. I agree. Game's too fast.
It is.
He's obviously a real good player. But it's just, you got to be able to skate, and obviously he can, but guys like Carlson are the guys that are, and then you look at Makar, he's skating like a guy I've never seen play the game of hockey before.
Yeah. He's completely changing. We've said it before. He's changing the way that defensemen are playing the game.
Yeah.
He's going to be the reason why it's just going to be an insane game in the future.
Mm-hmm.
These kids growing up watching Kale Makar are going to be just crazy. Same thing with McDavid.
Speaking of McDavid,
we go through McDavid every year or every episode. I don't need to see his 3,000 points again.
What
48 games? 48 games played, 88 points already.
Quickest to 40 goals since Pavel Bure, I believe.
Connor McCheat code. Someone,
it's crazy.
A little other hockey news. See you, Bruce Boudreau.
Oh yeah,
he's out of there.
Bruce, there it is.
Rick Tocchet.
Meaning the door.
Yep. Rick Tocchet's now slotted in there. I love that. I like that he's the coach. And I like Rick. I like Bruce too. But that's a weird situation that they have going on there. I'm surprised it took that long to get Bruce
out. Have you seen the odd quotes that they were having from Boudreau? Like, you know, he wasn't at morning practice and everyone was, you know, all the media
saying bye to him and everything.
Yeah, and he showed up for a press conference and goes, gotcha.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, if you know you're on your way out, why don't you just like, don't try to stop the bleeding. Just rip the Band-Aid off.
Well, I think there's some money. He can't quit.
Yeah. Well,
if he gets fired, then he gets some more money.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, he had to have known the writing was on the wall.
He did. The players were going in there Rudy style and basically dropping a jersey on there. Did you see that? They were coming in to say goodbye, like lining out the door.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Like yesterday or something like that, or 2 days ago. Yeah.
Rudy style.
I mean, that's what's cracking me up. Rudy style.
Killing me.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, I think that Rick Tocchet is probably your best case scenario.
He was the best available coach, right?
I mean, didn't they interview Babs?
Did they?
As if that was going to be an actual option again. I mean,
the Canucks, at this point, they just need to start tanking. The Canucks just need to continue to tank and just hope to God they get Connor Bedard. I sure as hell don't want him going to
Arizona. There's so many teams that are just saying are the same brink. Thing. Like, oh man, I hope to God I get Bedard. And it's like, dude, all these teams are going to be in a rude awakening. Although,
Connor's not wrong, though. They're all like, please lose, please lose. Please.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, even if you lose, there's no guarantee, obviously. We know that more than most.
Oh, 100%.
But
we got shafted. Bettman's got it all fixed. He knows.
Dude, I swear to God he does. Dude, I don't believe the draft. Dude,
that's why I think he's going to Arizona.
He is going to Arizona. Dude, yeah. Dude. All right, all three of us in agreement he's going to Arizona? Let's just say it right now.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. All right. He's going to Arizona. What is this? January 19th, 22nd. January 22nd. All three Wingsauce boys. Bedard, Arizona for the draft.
And honestly, if you got that much pressure on you, playing in Canada, you have the eyes of the world from World Juniors on you. You're going to go to a place that's like a sweet location if you're just going to live with millions of dollars, and you're going to get a ton more money just from sponsorship.
Yeah, he's got a bear claw back scratcher.
Oh, that's so nice.
I found it on my desk, and I was like, this is kind of fun. It's for when I make good comments and I can pat myself on the back.
There you go. Yeah. So good.
Scratch my own. But yeah. What I was saying is, like, why wouldn't you want to go there? I turned myself into thinking, like, oh yeah, I actually would want to go. You're gonna make a shit ton of money either way. You're gonna live in a sweet spot, and then you get a brand new rink in a couple of years when you're about to sign your second contract worth a bajillion dollars, whatever you want.
That's true.
Or Vegas, actually, he's
a good one.
He's got it. He's got it pretty much. I mean, Connor Bedard has the world by the balls because this is what's going to happen. He's going to get drafted by Arizona. Arizona's then going to move to Houston, and he's shifting to another
sweet. I still warm get a climate sweet spot. Yeah.
So yeah, yeah. So Connor Bedard, if you're listening, and we know that you are,
huge fan, number one fan.
Go ahead and throw out all of your winter stuff because you won't be needing it at all. So
I don't disagree. Speaking of young stars, Paul Cotter had two goals the other night. Two goals. He's
in the retro jerseys, right?
Dude, first off, I think Vegas has some of the better retro jerseys. Like, when I'm talking about, I know they're not like as far as classic, but I like the look of them.
I need to look at
it. At least they're being creative with it and doing like a medieval. I think that they're sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't fault any teams that are like trying new things. Like, it kind of goes back to, you try new things and then it might suck, but at least you're trying them and not just doing something that's safe and then does suck. Like their Wings are doing that.
The red, black, or the white and red.
Yeah. Like, I mean, get a little, you have one of the best, you have the best, in my opinion, jersey in all of sports, not just hockey. Mm-hmm. Like, why won't you just go crazy and have something that's like, all right, well, you're going to wear it a couple times. But, another thing that I was thinking of is, did you guys see that the Nickelodeon type game is going to happen with the NHL, right? Similar to what the NFL does?
It's Disney, isn't it?
Or did Disney, is that what it is? Yeah.
I think it's Bedard's, Disney, if I'm not mistaken.
Bedard's SpongeBob jersey went for like $13,000 in an auction.
A steal.
A couple years. So real quick, it went for the money went for the Children's Miracle Network. It was the SpongeBob jersey. So yeah, for the kids, the SpongeBob jersey is for some game he played in with the St. Pat's, or that's what he plays for, I think now.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anywho.
Anyway. Yeah. No. First of all, that's awesome. And then second of all, it was back to, I don't know if you guys agree with this. This is my perspective on anything that the league wants to do that's like different and exciting. And then again, may not work. It may be terrible, but at least don't do what like baseball's doing. It's just don't do anything. They're not changing anything.
I agree.
Still make it like the old white guys league. And I mean, they're slowly starting to get there a little bit, but like the NHL is adapting, even like the boards and getting more money into the league and signing new TV deals and like all these different advertisements. Yeah. Like a lot of it isn't that great.
I'm all for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just try, and maybe it sucks and then you don't
just
do
keep
it
them off
year.
The jerseys though. That's all. So like it, keep the ads off the jerseys.
I think there's a couple, I think there is a couple ads on the jerseys, but so minimal and they're so tiny. What was I going to say? Damn it. I don't know. Wasn't that important.
It's a slippery slope though.
It is a slippery slope, but to Connor's point though, it's good because I feel like the NHL is one of the most underrated, publicized leagues when it comes to like major sports. So it's nice seeing all that getting pumped in there as far as like,
yeah, they have to do something differently to try to even compete with the other three. Like football obviously is king, but it does a lot of things that they try to be progressive and they almost have to be, because if they don't, then nobody else will, because they're kind of the leader in the four major sports. But even if you look at golf, golf does all of these new, there's the Netflix show coming out. They have all these different competitions. They have like the 2-on-2.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. So there's some cool stuff coming out. And then
they should do something like that for hockey. That would be so cool. Or like, even if it was like, hold on, hard knocks, but for hockey.
They did that.
24/7, right?
Yeah. The road to the Winter Classic, but they should do a preseason thing. I think kind of like what you were saying, Dustin.
Yeah,
pick a team that's like, pick it wherever Connor goes. Yeah.
That'd be sick, honestly.
He doesn't make the team.
Like imagine.
Come to find out, he gets sent back to the queue. It's like, yeah, sorry, bud. No, but yeah, the golf thing I'm excited for. I'm glad you brought that up. That looks good. But they should do something like that with the hockey, because I do remember the Road to the Winter Classic. That was awesome. Anytime, or even I always
loved then HBO sold it to whatever company it was, and it wasn't the same.
I love the Mic'd Up series, like when they do the Mic'd Up. They did that.
Yeah.
Probably the same time frame, like right around the same time. But like, I love those Mic'd Up series. Like, even when the Red Wings do it, right? Like having that Mic'd Up so you can hear like the more.
See, I want like unfiltered. They should do like an NHL HBO unfiltered special. Channel. Mm-hmm. No, they should do like an NHL unfiltered channel where they have all the mics on.
Yeah.
Hot mics all times.
Yeah.
Imagine
watching that broadcast.
Yeah, it'd be unbelievable. Connor, you don't even need a broadcast. I would just listen to the guys talk.
So at Little Caesars, they had this new camera that's like ice level that shows like right into the face-off circle. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. But is that on TV or is that just in the rink? Do they show anything like that? Like literally ice level? Like
I think it's on the ref's leg.
I hate you, Tyler. It's not. No, but it was cool. And then all last night they're doing these overhead.
It's actually shots. Connor with a GoPro taped to his back scratcher going over the glass
with the bear paw.
Yeah.
Oh my god. No, but so hockey this week. How are we looking? We got San Jose. Real quick. So Tyler Bertuzzi's out again. Lower body injury.
A man made of glass.
Dude, I feel bad for him. But Jake Walman, he got roughed up on Sunday, so hopefully he's good to go. Yep. We're kind of getting depthy again, which seems to be okay because we played this again. But at the same time, we need some healthy players.
I think Zadina's coming back in a week.
Yeah, which is
like
good
in the next couple games. That'll
Fabry's
be
still looking good.
Be good. Fabry's been looking great. Yeah.
So has Valeno. Valeno's been looking really good.
That's who I was going to say too. I thought Valeno's been good. I'm happy he's been getting on the goal sheet there too.
His confidence is growing a lot.
Yeah. That's the nice part about having some of these top guys go out. Again, it's not nice, but like when those guys go out, you get the guys that would never even be put in that position that you're like, oh, maybe they can play, or they're being put in a position where now they're like, they look like a great trade piece. So who knows? It'll be interesting what Yzerman does.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I read an article about them saying like maybe the Red Wings shouldn't do anything, like stay the course and don't do anything. But
I would agree with that. Yeah. I was going to say every single game for a lot of these guys is essentially a tryout for, you know, like Joe Valeno, perfect example.
Jake Walman.
He hasn't really – Jake Walman, in my opinion, he's been doing a lot to prove himself. I think that –
But his contract ends,
right,
though.
You know, he still has to – still has to a lot to prove. But like Joe Valeno, you know, I feel like his stock keeps going up.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned his confidence is growing. You know, he's taking more chances, and I like to see it.
I don't think we mentioned Nedeljkovic cleared waivers, is now playing for the Grand Rapids Griffins
with Verona. How are they not just destroying teams?
Verona just had his first goal the other day. Well, he like wasn't playing for a while, but now that he's playing, he had a, for his first goal.
So yeah, interesting. Interesting that we got Nedeljkovic down on Grand Rapids, and A, that he cleared waivers. That was also kind of surprising.
I think it's really Nedeljkovic. That wasn't too surprising in my point of view, just money related.
The Verona.
I thought you were talking about Nedeljkovic. I thought what was interesting between the two was that Verona's playing. Like, I thought if he cleared waivers and he wasn't on the wings and they basically weren't playing him for a couple games.
Contract termination or something.
There was something going on contract related where they were trying to figure out what makes sense for both sides. But now he's playing, like, he's not an AHL player. he's very clearly an NHL player. So I don't know if it's mental, if what's going on there, but that's an interesting story that we probably don't need to know, but
kind of want to know.
And we probably won't for a while. Yeah, we really want to know. But we
honestly, we might hear something in the summer. You might hear something. But
I'm thinking even in a few years, if he's not with the organization anymore, is probably when you'll hear something.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same thing when
Babcock, when he was with the Wings, you know, you didn't really hear anything from the media or you know about the stuff that was going on. You would think that the players would have, you know, come out about it, but
yeah, there was a lot of the personal stuff, I feel like, doesn't come out. That's pretty tight lipped.
It's in the vault.
Yeah, exactly. And there was one that I don't even know if I'll tell you guys after, like I said, but it was last year where someone was out with like a personal matter. And I was like, I don't know if that ever came out, but did figure out. I just talked to somebody.
Yeah.
And know what it was, but so, not my place.
No worries. So Red Wings this week, we got San Jose home, and then we're going across the border to Montreal, and then we got the Islanders, both away games. and then our next game is home against Edmonton on Tuesday. So we got three games this week. Should be interesting. San Jose, Montreal, Islanders. I'd like to see two of those games with wins.
They have next week they have All-Star break.
Oh.
Yeah, it's right? Because February 7th is when
February 7th is the next home game.
Thank you, Tyler. I wondered why that looked like a weird gigantic spot.
A big break. And where is the All-Star game this year?
Florida somewhere, right?
Florida. Tampa? Yep.
Tampa like 4 years ago?
I thought so too.
I think so, yeah. So real quick,
might as well keep it in warm climates, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yep. So what are you guys thinking?
I'm going to say 2-1.
I'm going to say 2-1, and I really hope, and I don't believe
who's your two?
Be the two. My two, I'm hoping that it's going to be the Canadiens and the Islanders, just because I would love to round out the pre-All-Star break with two wins, but at least hope if they're going to go, I don't know, I'd like them to beat the Islanders. I feel like that's going to be a really tough game, though.
Especially in UBS. New York, that'd be nice. Yeah,
that'd be very. It's gonna be very difficult.
My two wins are San Jose and Montreal. I'm thinking they're probably gonna drop one in New York.
Yeah, that's my realistic 2-1.
I like I like Tyler's. Anything else, boys?
Nope, I think that's it.
All right, let's get the puck out of here and see you next week.
See ya.